following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Other than both being Huskers, you really didn't know Darren Erstad from anybody else out there until a couple years ago when you introduced yourself. You were coaching a different program. You've got a mesh with him. You've got coach center Dave Van Horn. I think probably similar personalities to Coach Van Horn. Probably not similar personalities like, say, Ozzie Guillen that Darren played for. I think I know which one fits you and fits Dave Van Horn better, and it's not Ozzie Guillen.
Right. No, you know, it didn't take long. Once I met Darren this summer when we were kind of going through the process of filling the staff out, it didn't take but 5 minutes for us to sit down and start talking about the game, our approaches to the game, our philosophies on hitting, base running. It was going to click. And, you know, we're very similar in those aspects, in those regards of what it takes to be a winner and, you know, how to play the game. And we just have similar philosophies. So from that aspect, it was pretty seamless transition. And obviously, myself coming back to Nebraska, you know, he being a former Husker, we have an immense amount of pride about this place.
One thing different from Dave Van Horn, from Mike Anderson, you're in the third base, Doug, or in the third base box, not Darren Erstad. He's in the dugout.
Right. Yeah, and that was one of the things that we talked about. That's something I'd been used to doing, you know, my 4 years as a head coach. Something that I really wanted to do. Moving on from that job, and you know, Darren said, "Great, I would like to be in the dugout. You know, kind of be the game manager from the dugout." You know, so he can talk with Coach Silva about pitching changes, making personnel moves, pinch hitting, pinch running, that kind of stuff. He's like, yeah, I mean, we're very much on the same page as far as running an offense. So, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's great, because I'd like to be in the dugout.
Will Bolt with us for just another minute here. We've been fortunate enough to have at least one player from the Tri-Cities on the Husker baseball team for quite some time. Cash Kelkowski's that man right now. He's battling a little bit of an injury. When he's in there, it seems like he's hitting the ball okay. What's his status?
He's getting better. I don't think he's quite to 100% yet. I bet he's probably 95% healthy. You know, he could have played last weekend. If we're playing conference games, he would have been in the lineup. We don't want to risk anything with him. You know, it's especially with a groin injury that he's battling. You don't want to keep pushing it until it's ready. And you know, you don't want to pick that scab and, you know, just something that he's going to have, you know, linger on the rest of the year. So he's in a pretty good place right now. He's about 100% healthy. He's been swinging the bat this whole time, so it's not like he hasn't been able to take his cuts in the cage. It's just been more lateral movement and running. But, yeah, he's going to be a big part of our offense, no question.
And today, UNK, the only, if I got this right, the only non-Division I team you'll play all year this time around.
Yep.
What are you looking for today? We always assume kids that aren't going to get a lot of swings throughout the year are going to get a chance to get a few today.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's not as much about playing UNK as it is. It's another game for us to try a different combination. And we've, you know, the guys that are going to play today have already played several games for us. So it is a little bit of a switch up from yesterday's lineup, but, you know, that's just something that we would do regardless of who the opponent is. So we respect Kearney, and, you know, they're going to give us their best shot, absolutely, and we're going to do the same thing. So we're going to, you know, the lineup may look a little bit different, but, you know, we're going to try, like I said, we're going to try different combinations, see which one's going to work the best, and kind of go from there.
A lot of lefties today, Daddy. Well. The wind blowing out strong to right field.
Richard Stock likes to see the flag blowing that way.
Well, you're picked fourth in the conference. Knowing the way you played the game and getting to watch your career, knowing the way Darren Erstad approached the game, patience probably is one of your great virtues. You're in it to win the Big Ten this year.
Absolutely, and that's why all of us took the jobs that we took here, is not to finish second, third, fourth, whatever you want to call it. If you don't finish first, you know, that's just not good enough for us. So, you know, I mean, are we going to be patient throughout the course of this season? Are we going to take our, you know, hits here and there? Maybe, you know, but again, it just comes back to how we bounce back from those things. And yeah, I mean, we have very high expectations, and our players do too, and they wouldn't expect anything different from us. And, you know, that's the good thing, is we're all here to try to win championships, and it starts this year.
Can you get back to Omaha in the I'm not saying in the next, in the foreseeable future? You think you have a team that can compete and be the first Big Ten team to go back to Omaha?
That's what we're building to do. Absolutely. I mean, you know, and we've heard Coach Erstad say it, and we all feel the same way. It's not necessarily just getting to Omaha at this point. You know, we want to make noise. We want to win a national championship, and, you know, that's what fuels us every day, and we're going to work tirelessly until we can reach that goal.
Doug, they told us before, Ted Silva was on the mound in 1995,
yep.
Cal State Fullerton.
Yep.
Will Bolt's been there. Do you rib Burstead? Hey, we know what it's like. We'll teach you when we get there. What do you say to him?
Yeah, we can't. That's our only trump card we have on a guy that's got a football national championship. He's got a World Series ring. Yeah. You know, we don't use that too much against him, but it's what he said. You know, when he hired, you know, put his staff together, you know, Curtis Ledbetter, our director of operations, College World Series, Jeff Christie, volunteer coach, College World Series. You know, Coach Silva has a national championship ring, and Coach Silva, four of the five coaches that he's coached for before he came here have all won national championships. So, you know, just that's what drives Coach Erstad every day as well. It's just to be the next one in line to make it to the College World Series and win a baseball national championship for the Huskers.
Will, last question, we'll let you get out of here. You were here in 05 as an assistant, but yesterday your real significant role for the first time since playing here in Lincoln, was it a different feeling, or have you got past that because it wasn't the season opener? It was the home opener, but it wasn't the season opener. Did you have a little different feeling yesterday when you walked out there?
Yeah, it was very familiar, you know, and I can't say enough about our fans yesterday, how unbelievable, you know, Tuesday afternoon, granted the weather was great, but to have 4,100 people show up, you know, on a Tuesday afternoon just speaks volumes about our fans and how great they are. And again, that goes back to why all of us are so incredibly passionate about this place, is how well they treated me when I was a player here, you know, just the support that, you know, they've shown us since we've gotten here as a staff. And man, what an unbelievable feeling it was yesterday to see this ballpark fill up.
Well, Will, thanks for giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hopefully we can do it again, and best of success to your ball club.
Okay, I appreciate it, guys.
Thanks, Will.
Yep.
Doug and Daddy Show live from Haymarket Park. They're getting ready to take on the Lopers. First pitch is at 1:35, so that means, yes, you still have time to get in your truck and get down here and watch some baseball. I would suggest bringing a parka. Even Daddy has the jacket on here today. The one thing that I would like to say, Daddy, I'm so much glad, more happy that we're here today than yesterday, because I know you'd been running around with your shirt off.
Yeah.
You'd been out there on the berm, sitting there, getting some tan.
There's no doubt about it. I have my blanket laid out, my bucket of chicken beside me.
Coming up, we've got a full show today, folks. We will be joined by Damon Day at the right around 12 noon. We're going till 1 o'clock, so we've got that going for you. Also coming up on the show today, we'll be talking with Jeff Dittman, Hastings College women's basketball coach. They're headed to Sioux City for tomorrow's NAIA National Tournament, where they will be taking on Tennessee Wesleyan in the opening round of that tournament. Also, continuing our preview of the Boys State Basketball Tournament, Paul Baronic from Ravenna and Tom Crable from Boys Town, who, as we've said before, they're supposed to be the best team outside of Mike Gazelle. I mean, there's Class A, Gazelle Beatrice, and then Boys Town, if they win C1, might be a team that is thought about for the all-class top 10. Obviously, Minden is hoping to make sure that that doesn't happen, but we'll talk with him on the show today as well. Let's take a break. We'll be back with more on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Hi, it's The Herd. Forbes magazine suggests entrepreneurs and small business startups will put the U.S. economy back on track. It's National Start Your Business Month, and it's time to do your part today at LegalZoom.com. Take a look at the Inc. 500 list. You'll find over 24 companies started through LegalZoom. They're also helping thousands of contractors, property owners, retail stores, restaurants, and even doctors get their business started right now. LegalZoom saves you time and money, and you get total customer support. But it doesn't end there. LegalZoom offers continuing legal help through their legal plan, available in most states. They'll also throw in free accounting software. Sweet. Go to LegalZoom.com during National Start Your Business Month and save even more when you enter Colin in the referral box at checkout. LegalZoom is not a lawyer, and self-help services are provided at your specific direction. For incorporations, LLCs, DBAs, and more, go to LegalZoom.com today.
It's Central Nebraska's largest bike show and swap meet. March 10th and 11th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. Saturday 10 till 7 and Sunday 10 till 4. New and used motorcycles and parts. A tattoo contest. The Classic Hits 98.9 Fabulous Prize Machine on Saturday. This year's charity fundraiser is for the Kearney Volunteer Fire Department. Visit KearneyNebraskaBikeShow.com for full details. The bike show and swap meet. March 10th and 11th at the Buffalo County Fairgrounds. From Kearney, Nebraska, RFA2. It's an epic main event featuring Gilbert the Hurricane Ivan versus Houston the Assassin Alexander. Resurrection Fighting Alliance 2 returns to the VRO Event Center on Friday, March 30. It's round 2 of RFA's Cage Fighting in Kearney, including a fight card set with other big names like UFC veteran Justin McCullough and rising stars Jerry Shapiro and Tim Elliott. Get your tickets now for RFA2 on March 30 by calling 308-338-8011 or online at kearneyevents.com. RFA2.
The madness of March is here as Big Ten tournament play tips off this week on Compass Media Networks, live from Indianapolis, Indiana. Be sure to join us for all the action from Bankers Life Fieldhouse as one of the nation's top basketball conferences opens up tournament play. Be sure to catch it all. If it's the Big Ten tournament, it's right here.
Catch all the action right here this weekend on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
As skies stay mainly cloudy across the area today, we still could see an isolated shower or sprinkle develop with highs in the mid-40s. Winds out of the north will stay at around 15 to 30. Tonight we'll see clearing skies and a low at 23. I'm Paul Frombly.
Right now it's 39.
And the Doug and Daddy Show back at Haymarket Park here in Lincoln. It is definitely overcast. The wind is blowing out towards right field at a very strong rate. In fact, folks, the funny thing was, as I'm watching this morning, the radar out there and some of the local telecasts about weather, Daddy, it was 60 degrees this morning in Omaha and 57 degrees in Lincoln at about 6:30 this morning. And this front, as we drove down, has come through, and it has caught up, and it is now through the state of Nebraska, and it has dropped the temperature 20 degrees.
I was going to say, it can't be 40, 45 out there. Wind chill dropping it down even further. But Lopers continue to take batting practice here and have their infield and outfield going on right now. So they're going to play baseball, and that's, you know, I'd be interested to ask Will Bolt, remember the coldest game? I know those guys remember that going, wow. I mean, and it'd certainly be much colder than this.
Damon Day will join us at the top of the hour for the Lopers. We are here until 1 o'clock. The ball game is at 1:35. You can catch it on the Husker Sports Network and Huskers.com. As the season progresses, we'll have Husker baseball from time to time on the Breeze, 94.5 and on 1230 AM KHAS. Daddy, before we get into Jeff Dittman, who's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes as they get ready for the NAIA National Tournament, all morning long, and it's going on right now, the Peyton Manning press conference, and I don't know if our show is good enough to make you go, hey, I don't have to listen to all of this, but it is official. He has moved on. But Adam Schefter said something very interesting, I thought, this morning on the Mike and Mike show, saying he has it whittled down to that there are only four teams that Peyton Manning will be going to: the Miami Dolphins, the New York Jets, the Arizona Cardinals, and I wrote down Miami twice, the Washington Redskins. And then they talk about wanting to win, needing to win. There's a story out there about maybe going to Houston and them trading away Matt Schaub and getting some draft picks for him. I like that idea. There's no doubt that that division is pretty darn easy right now. I mean, it actually took that for Houston to win the division last year. And Peyton Manning obviously knows the teams in that division, so he's very familiar there. Houston's at a point where they could make a heck of a run. Would that be insane?
I don't know that that'd be insane. It makes more sense to me to go to either artificial turf dome stadium that he is accustomed to playing in, had so much success there, or the Arizona-Miami deal where the weather's warmer. You know, to go to those, Washington, to me, that's the one we talked about on the way down here.
Idiotic.
Really, you know.
Schefter said of those four teams, if Peyton Manning is their quarterback, they not only become automatic playoff contenders, they become Super Bowl contenders. Explain to me how you could put one person on the Washington Redskins team and make them a Super Bowl contender. You couldn't put Aaron Rodgers on that team and make them a Super Bowl contender, which now is looked at as a better quarterback than Peyton. Who's he going to throw the ball to?
Well, Santana Moss on the end of his career or been around for a long time. You know, Chris Cooley's the tight end, you know, much like Dallas. Well, I mean, he would fill the Dallas. But playmakers,
Roy Helu.
You got Roy Helu in the backfield, but you're looking for serious wide receiver threats, and I'm not sure Washington has one. New York,
Why would he play for Rex Ryan? And an interesting point, I think more negative than positive, being in New York with his brother Eli, because all they do is compare the two.
Wow.
And they don't want that.
No, and I don't think – you got to find a personality that meshes. I think Trent Dilfer said Peyton Manning offensively knows more than all 32 coaches of the NFL. You know, he can see more things on the field. You know, he is a smart guy. Can bring along a young team, but young teams out there, I think Miami or you brought up Arizona a long time ago when this was going on. I think those are the two that make the most sense to me. If Houston, gosh, Schaub is just turning the corner. You built that whole team. I'd hate to take one of the
other teams that are out there. Houston, Kansas City. They said San Francisco is still a possibility, and Seattle.
Well, we were talking
Seattle. You get to fly a lot and mesh with your team and look at film.
Well, you know, I don't like that. You know, San Francisco is the one to me.
He'd be smarter than the coach.
Well, there's no
Seattle,
doubt about that.
That probably wouldn't work. Although, overall, Marshawn Lynch just signed. I think, and Seattle's got always has a great defense. One of the very toughest places to play. There's only about three places that I can see him going, and that would be one of them.
But your buddy EC yesterday told me, you go to San Francisco, you got to score 20 points. You're going to have one of the best defenses in the league. You get 21 points, you can assume you're going to win 13 games.
Peyton Manning, as long as the weather was good, Frank Gore, Crabtree,
Vernon Davis,
and on. There's more and more. I'm trying to think of the second wide receiver.
Well, Ted Ginn's there.
Yeah, I'm missing one here, but they've got some parts. Then you got to look at their line. I don't know enough to tell you what the San Francisco 49ers offensive line is like, but you can't. Washington, no. The Jets, no. Kansas City, no. Houston, that's interesting. Interesting.
But when he was making that argument,
Arizona,
our buddy UC has very few coherent thoughts. So I thought that was a pretty good one to bring him in with that defense. I think you got a new young coach that looks to be the part of A-OK in that area. You'd think that'd be a huge upgrade. Hell, you won 14 games with Alex Smith.
You can hear more coherent thoughts or voice some of your own while watching the NCAA basketball tournament and all of the conference tournaments that lead up to that with your friends at Cunningham's. And don't forget, they're open for lunch, folks. That is Cunningham's Journal in downtown Kearney. You want a burger, you want a pizza, salads, French dips, gourmet sandwiches. The list goes on and on. Maybe you want to get out of work a little early, or maybe you just get off at 3. Who knows? Cunningham's has you covered with happy hour from 3 to 6. Big ass beer specials, only $2.75, along with All Wells for a buck and a half, and a large selection of small craft and micro brews available with always the guaranteed coldest draft beer in Kearney. So whether you're popping in for lunch or just having a little happy hour or in the evening to enjoy some live entertainment and watch your favorite games where you can't move a muscle without seeing a different TV, it is Cunningham's Journal in the Loft, located on 23rd Street on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
We're back on the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. A lot going on this week with the Big Ten Tournament for the Huskers, with baseball going on in the homestand, with the State Boys Basketball Tournament, and, of course, back to the National Tournament on the NAIA scene, Hastings College. And Coach Jeff Dittman joins us here as they get ready for a 12 noon game Thursday against Tennessee Wesleyan. And I guess everybody has to just have a smile on their face right now, Coach, because it was not a long drought for missing the NAIA tournament. It lasted all of 1 year.
No, we were very disappointed last year. Obviously, we've got a great tradition of national tournament play and success in the national tournament. So even though we had a very young team, and we knew that there was certainly going to be a step off from the year before when we had the five seniors who were so dominant, it was a hard pill to swallow. So we worked very hard in the off season. We really put in some good time. Very proud of our athletes for the way they got after it, and now we're back in the tournament again.
The fifth at-large seed, did you think that's where you were going to be? Did you have things mapped out before the committee announced it?
Well, you hate to say that you were doing all of that for the committee, but, yeah, I had us, depending on where the final ranking was, and I didn't know how that loss to Concordia would affect the final ranking, but I had us somewhere between 4 and 6 with the at-large. So, you know, I was confident we were in the tournament, but you always like to get that final confirmation or the official confirmation.
Give me your initial thoughts on the draw, because I would think we talked about this when you were the number one seed or a number two seed going in, even with Coach Hobson. It didn't matter. The GPAC was going to be somewhere. You were going to have to get through them or be that team to get to the Final Four. So what do you think about your draw?
Well, I can only speak to Tennessee Wesleyan right now that we've really watched some film on, and they're the conference champions of their Appalachian League. They did get beat in the conference championship game against Union, but they're a very solid team. They've got great quickness. They're an outstanding offensive rebounding team. They really do a good job of going to the boards and getting themselves second chances. And you know, they're very sound on defense. They won't get out and overplay things a lot, but they very seldom ever make any mistakes, so every shot's going to be contested. The one big advantage I think we have is just simply in the height. Their post player is going to be 5'10", who's guarding Alicia Statler. And if we go with our double post of Statler at 6'2", and Zwiener at 6'4", then we have a significant advantage there.
Coach, is it an advantage to be close to Sioux City, where they got to come a long ways?
You know, I don't know, simply because I've never had to go a long ways. When I was at Dakota State, we were 2 hours from Sioux City, and now Hastings, we're 4 hours.
So
I've never had to do that, get on a plane and go out days early.
Are we still connected on Skype, by the way?
All of that. I certainly like the idea of being close. I love the opportunity for our fans to be able to go to ball games, and I think we have a great, not only Hastings following at the game, but you have a great GPAC crowd that the Briarcliff fans are cheering for Hastings, and the Northwestern fans are cheering for Briarcliff. So you have a lot of noise in the gym, and it's not quite a home game, but it certainly has that feel to it at times.
Did you think the GPAC was treated fairly? Everybody get in you thought was in?
You know, I did. I there was always that question when we got to the last month of rankings and what was going to be the status of that fifth GPAC team, which turned out to be us. But when you look at our non-conference record, and we were 9-1 in non-conference, we had 5 wins against top 20 teams. We had wins against NAIA Division I and even an exhibition win against a Division II program. I really felt that the GPAC, like 3 years ago when we went in as the number 18 overall ranked team, I just feel very solidly that there were 5 teams in our league that certainly deserve an opportunity to play in the national tournament.
Jeff Dittman, the head coach at Hastings College. They head into the national tournament, sitting at number 19, and play Thursday at 12 noon. Since we last talked to you, Coach, all conference came out, and I was shocked that a top 20 team could only have one player make all of the all conference, and then we were told afterwards that one of the honorable mention was left off. But I guess that says a couple things about your team. After Alicia Statler, it's very balanced, and we've heaped the praise on Alicia. She's just an outstanding player. What were your thoughts when you saw the all conference team?
Well, I don't think I can complain too much about it. Now, from a personal note, I know how hard Brittany works. I know what a talented young lady she is. I know how hard she works on defense, which is pretty overlooked for the most part. Great defensive players never get the accolades that great offensive players do. But, you know, as you said, when you look at the stats, when you look at the numbers, we have great balance after Alicia's 15.5 points and 9.5 rebounds, and then you see about a dozen of our players that average between 4 and 8 points. And so I think in the sense of who would you pick as a second player, that probably was difficult for the other GPAC coaches to go at our team and say, here's their obvious number two choice.
Coach, is there a favorite? Is Concordia a favorite in this deal?
Well, I always look at the tournament as there's probably about 28 teams that can win one game. There's a number of teams who can't do anything more than that. They're not going to pull off more than one upset. There's really probably only about 10 teams that can win 3 games, and then you get down to it, then maybe there's 3-4 teams that can win the whole thing. I think this year it's kind of interesting because in our conference even, you've seen some pretty interesting scores. You've got Concordia that was very dominant throughout the league, only lost 2 games. You've got Morningside that had a tremendous season, but yet we were able to sweep them and actually had a pretty significant win over them in the last home game. And so I think as you look at it, there's Indiana Wesleyan, there's Davenport, there's College of the Ozarks, there's the 5 GPAC schools, and I think all of those are teams that are capable of getting on a roll in the national tournament and having both the offense and the offensive firepower, and having strong enough defenses to be able to make a run.
One thing that we see is that if you do get past that first round game, you're going to get College of the Ozarks in the second round, and that's a 24-hour turnaround. I don't remember Hastings not getting a day off after the first and second round games in the past. I know you're looking at Tennessee Wesleyan, but I know you also have to look at the big picture with what College of the Ozarks has.
Well, it's almost a tradition, I think, since I've gotten here. We play College of the Ozarks in the national tournament someplace. So I guess the good news is if we're going to continue that tradition, that means we get a win in the first round. But George and I have really enjoyed playing each other. We've played each other in the regular season. We've played some great games in the national tournament. And so I'm excited about the opportunity, if we can get by Tennessee Wesleyan, the opportunity to run into him again. We did see them out in California. They played the two games out in California when we were out there this year. And he feels he's got one of his best teams that he's ever had. He feels he's got a center that's one of the best centers he's ever coached. So he's loaded again for another good run in the tournament.
And you've talked about how young this team has been most of the year, and we'll go back to the last game that you played, which really may go down as one of the rougher games you played all year long. Turnovers, every time I look at here, that seems to be the one thing. Is that directly related to the youth of your team, especially at the guards?
I think that's part of it. I think the other side of it is that, we just got some teams that do a great job of pressing in this league. I know that the loss against Concordia, you look at the 29 turnovers and say, well, that's the bottom line. But in the win against Briarcliff, we had 26 turnovers in that ball game, and so we're not probably as comfortable handling presses as we need to be. But on the other side of it, you've got some great athletes in this league, and you've got some guards that can really put the pressure on, and we tend to make some mistakes at times doing handling the press. Some of those games have cost us. Some of them haven't. So it's kind of hard to tell. Right now, Concordia has their press has given us more problems than anyone else's press this year.
Last minute with Jeff Dittman, Hastings College women's basketball coach, as they get ready for the NAIA national tournament. Tennessee Wesleyan, ninth in the country, I believe it is, in scoring defense. You pride yourself on defense. First 1-50 win.
You know, it might be that way. I see they're giving up 56 points a game, and we give up about 61 point something. Like I said, they're an interesting defensive squad because they don't really attack you, but they just play at a comfortable position on you. They force you to take shots over them all the time, and you'll have to go beat them on offense. They're not going to let you get to the front of the rim and those things. Now, like I said, the one thing I do like is I like our advantage in the post, where if they play behind the post, as they've shown in the films that I've watched, then Alicia should have an opportunity to have a pretty good game against them.
Coach, we appreciate the time, as always, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Congratulations once again on making the tournament.
Thank you. It's good to be back again.
Jeff Dittman, Hastings College women's basketball coach. The game tomorrow at 12 noon. You can hear it at all of their games on 1230 AM KHAS, and you get deeper into this a little bit, Daddy. Hastings College, we talked about Alicia Statler. She's averaging 15 points per ball game for this squad. She also just dominates in rebounding as she hammers the boards and just kills it there. But she is second in the country in field goal percentage.
You know, that's really a tribute. Every sports cast this whole winter sports season, it's been Alicia Statler. You hear that name repeatedly from you and Mike Will when you do your sports, and she's just a great player for the university. You can go down in Hastings College lore as one of the greats of all time.
Let me just read this to you, if you can pick this up on the NAIA website. Alicia Statler, second in Division II, so I'm going Division II, in the country, in field goal percentage at over 59%, ninth in total blocks, 10th in blocks per game, 10th in total rebounds, 16th in defensive rebounds, 17th in total rebounds per game, and then also total rebounds for the season. So she's in the top 20 in the country of six different categories. Laurel Zwiener's right there. She's also there in offensive rebounds and points per game. So top 40 in those as well. So you got a couple area kids.
Yeah, it's fun when you look at this bracket, too, and see all the different states from around the country represented, and all goes down in Sioux City. That's pretty neat.
And the one thing for them is Concordia of Michigan is on their side. So they happen to draw into a quarter bracket where they are the only GPAC team, which is weird because they're the fifth team in, but they're not in the bracket. So if they can get past College of the Ozarks, I mean, it's not going to be easy because this isn't the team that they have had going up there with a top five ranking. But we'll see. We'll see.
It's interesting to play at noon. 1:45, 3 o'clock, back-to-back-to-back, 3 days in a row. I mean, it's just like the state basketball. Before you get a day off, three in a row.
Which is different than in the past for Hastings. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got baseball, UNK, UNL from Haymarket Park, and we'll be back with more right after this.
All right, fans, we've officially put football season to bed, which can only mean one thing. The madness is upon us. Oh, and spring training. And hockey's heating up, and the NBA. All right, so if it weren't for a lack of football, March would be the best time of the year, clearly, as a fan. Which also makes it the best time of the year to head to StubHub. And you should know this by now. StubHub is the place to get tickets for every game in every sport in every city. So head to StubHub today. Find the seats that are right for you, and let the madness begin.
StubHub! With over 900,000 products and 31 product categories, some people would say Grainger has everything but the kitchen sink. Of course, those people would be wrong, because sinks are among the over 900,000 products Grainger offers to help keep your business up and running, along with belt sanders, baseboard heaters, duct tape, tissue paper, reversible air drills, and, well, you get the idea, most everything. For super fast access to Grainger's over 900,000 products, call clickgrainger.com or stop by a branch today. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When I told my buddies I was picking Butler to make it to the Final Four, my friends just laughed. So tournament time came around, we all head down to Cunningham's Journal. As my wife might say, my home away from home, Cunningham's has what any bracketologist would want. Wireless internet to do your research, awesome food, a bajillion TVs, and the coldest beer in town. Anyways, there was Butler in the final seconds, nailing a buzzer beater, and guess who's laughing now? So fellow bracketologists, when it comes to tournament time, make Cunningham's Journal your home away from home in downtown Kearney.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
As skies stay mainly cloudy across the area today, we still could see an isolated shower sprinkle develop with highs in the mid-40s. Winds out of the north will stay at around 15 to 30. Tonight, we'll see clearing skies and a low at 23. I'm Paul Frombly.
Right now, it's 39.
Doug and Danny's show live from Lincoln, where there's all kinds of activities going on all the time, but right now even more involving Central Nebraska. State basketball tournament gets underway tomorrow. Paul Baronick's going to join us here in just a minute from Ravenna to talk about the Blue Jays trying to win their third state championship in the last four seasons. So we'll be talking with him about that here in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth, which is live at Haymarket Park for UNK and Nebraska. They've been doing this now for a few years. I think last year a little weather came in and has messed it up, and that's one of those you don't hustle to reschedule. But
Daddy, things looking good for a 1:35 first pitch here today.
Well, plenty of seats still remain available, too. So come on down, check out some baseball, stay around for the next couple of days, watch a little basketball. It's great.
And I wanted to bring up one other thing. You had an interesting point off the air, and so since you have so few on, I thought we'd bring this up here. Not only are we hearing all about the Peyton Manning and him saying in his press conference this morning he's not sure where he wants to go. He hasn't even thought about it, I believe, was how he lied to the press. But anyway, we were also talking about the NCAA tournament and the play-ins. And a lot of teams, I mean, you look at last night, South Dakota State, Detroit, Western Kentucky. Everybody's going, ew, the play-in games. You think that if you win your conference tournament, you should not have to play in a play-in game. And now that there's not one, that there's four, and Virginia Commonwealth came out of one of those play-in games and went to the Final Four last year, you believe it should only be at-large teams that play in Dayton for the right to get into the Big Dance?
Well, I think that the automatic qualifiers have been in place for so long. No one's arguing that Western Kentucky, 15-18, got into the tournament last night. They won their way in. They played their way in. They've already made the tournament, in my mind, because they're an automatic qualifier. If you're I'm just picking two teams, Colorado State and, say, Texas. You know, those teams that are on the bubble, one of them, both those teams, they go head-to-head, and then they turn around and play again. I just think, you know, those automatic qualifiers are such a special deal anyway, and we're waiting for Cinderella, and it's an awesome deal for those teams. South Dakota State, what a great day to be a jackrabbit. The women qualify for the second time ever, and then later in the day the men qualify, although people had to be woke up in the overtime period because they scored, 42 going into overtime.
Oh, man.
It was an ugly offensive game.
Free basketball in Sioux Falls, though.
Free basketball in Sioux Falls, and you know, I think Doc Sadler's offense, I think we think about joining the Summit League.
UNO. Remember, South Dakota State just won the conference tournament that UNO in a couple of years is going to have the opportunity to play in.
You're exactly right, Douglas.
And go to the NCAA tournament.
Which, obviously, you know, South Dakota State's a team in some of those great regional tournaments UNK matched up very, very well with. And it's a lot of fun to follow those teams. I got to think if you're going to have to score more points than that, because obviously you're going to be a 15 or 16 seed, and you know you're going to play pretty talented people, and athletically going to be overmatched. I hate to see a team, you know, 42 points not going to cut it in the NCAA tournament. I wouldn't assume.
Joe Lenardi's bracketology right now, his last four in as of this morning are Northwestern, Seton Hall, Drexel, and Xavier. And so those are the teams that if they get in, you believe automatically should have to play in that Tuesday night play-in game.
The last four in, boom, play each other to get in.
The first four out, Texas, Tennessee, Oregon, who's 22-8. Of all these teams, they have the least losses at North Carolina State. And the next four out, so somebody that he would deem needing to win maybe two or three games would be Miami, Iona, Arizona, and St. Joseph's. Right now, Lenardi has 10 teams in from the Big East, 7 from the Big Ten, and 5 from the SEC and Big 12. And folks, don't forget to get on our website at ESPNSuperstation.com for Doug and Daddy's Bracket Buster, $50,000 H&H Distributing, Cunningham's Journal Bracketology Contest. That's right. You have the possibility, if you have an above-average bracket, to get $50,000. Maybe you've got a little bit above average, 5,000, or maybe you've got it a little bit above average, 500. There's still going to be great prizes. Top 10% of the bracketologists will get a special gift as well. All the rules and regulations are up on our website. The two main ones, only one entry per person, and you must be 18 and a legal resident of Nebraska to win the big prize. So make sure that you get in. And over years past, we've done it through the ESPN website where you could put in 10. Well, you can't do that with this one, but, you know, put one in for you, put one in for your wife.
It's all about the bracket of integrity this year.
You can't put one in for your 12-year-old son, though, because you have to be 18.
Remember that one year, like, Tori at 31 or 32? And he was like, well, he put in 33 brackets. So, you know, you think one of them could be pretty good. But you know what? Jeff Dittman, Coach Baronic,
waiting to join us there.
You know, Tom Crable, all of our friends here on the Doug and Daddy Show. February, our friends at Burger King, want a burger day or night, they'll make it for you. Breakfast served every morning until 11 a.m. Check them out. Two locations in Kearney to serve you, along with Lexington, Cozette, and North Platte.
The Boys State Basketball Tournament gets underway tomorrow. We've got plenty of great teams from the area going down to Lincoln, including
finish it off this year. They go in as the number one ranked team, the number one seeded team. They're undefeated, and they'll take on Johnson Brock at Lincoln Northeast tomorrow at 2, and you'll be able to hear it on Classic Hits 98.9, and all of their games will be right there as well. And head coach Paul Baronic joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And, Coach, good morning. How are things in Blue Jay Land?
Good. I'm just trying to get over that comment that I've got off the air there with Big Daddy. That still floored me. I could. Anyway, we're doing good. We're doing good over here in Blue Jay Land. Things are good, obviously, and knock wood. Hopefully, they can continue.
Coach, this is really what it's all about, and I know that when you set goals at the beginning of the year, there was one goal that was number one, and that's to take home the trophy on Saturday.
Well, we're not going to mince any words about that. Yeah, that's been the mission of these guys, and it started last summer, you know, and we went kind of on a little mini tour where, you know, our campaign as far as a state championship started last summer when Trevor and Connor and Tyson just, you know, mentioned the fact that, you know, we need to get something going where we could get some type of higher level play, and they asked me about going to some select tournaments, and you know, we did the South Dakota deal, we did the Mr. Basketball thing in Kearney, we went to Vegas, and just really had a good time, but also got better. So they kind of put some individual things aside in order to make the team better, because they all could be on select teams over the summer, and they just really decided to make a band of brothers kind of a thing and do this.
Ravenna coach Paul Baronic with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Paul, this team is, I guess with that being said, this team got way better during the season. December, you go double overtime with Kearney Catholic. You had a couple of competitive games, and then Sutton after the holiday tournament. We've talked about this a couple of times, about after that Sutton game, how you guys just exploded. Were you ever worried about where you were in December with this team, even though you were winning?
Oh, absolutely. You know, you get a couple chinks in your armor like that, and you take a couple steps back and reevaluate, and that's really kind of what we did. We just tweak some things on the press and where we're at as far as traps and how aggressive we're getting on defenses, and then you know we've taken a page out of Doc Sadler's defensive deal as far as what we've done, where Drake came back over the summer and did a clinic for our guys too on where we're trying to influence middle more and do those types of things to stop dribble drive. Now when you play Kearney Catholic, that's a different deal where you have to guard a three-pointer. When you play Sutton, that's a different deal because they're a machine. But our guys have kind of molded that into another different defensive level, and it just metamorphically, it just kind of came about. I don't, you know, and again, sometimes you scratch your head as a coach, you know, people ask you, what are you doing on defense? And to be honest, sometimes you just don't have a really, really, really good answer.
Well, now we have breaking news here on the Doug and Daddy Show. The struggles at Nebraska is because Paul Baronic took the page out of the book and they skipped from page 42 to 45, and that's what happened there.
Oh, real nice, real nice. If you're gonna, you know, if you're gonna take that from Nebraska, give it back to them, Paul. We need some success out of those guys as well. But Paul, and you know, not just Drake comes back. I know the older Saborns around, Luth kid, you know, they're around. Some of these older players that had such success, how does that feed into what these guys are doing?
Well, they set the pace. You know, they started the book. You know, if you're going to use a cliche here, where, you know, they laid the groundwork. And Connor and Drake had a big discussion, basically fight over how all this lays out. You know, and all those trailblazers, you know, always stick to that kind of stuff, saying, you know, we are the ones that laid it down. We are the ones that got it going for you, and you need to respect that. Otherwise, I'm going to pound you into submission. But, you know, you say, you know, the Josh Luce, and these guys went out and played a tournament evidently in Hershey and just, you know, pretty much beat everybody senseless. And but that's what we have here. And the other thing we did the other night was for our last home game. We had an alumni night. We just sent out, you know, a kind of a blanket email. If you come, meet, and, you know, we'll introduce you, shut the lights off, spotlight you. And I've gotten more responses on how much fun that was. We had a couple guys from 1961 and 62. We had some 63s. 68ers came back, and they just got an arousing applause where it just really got us jacked up for that night. But it also showed that tradition, that type of thing, has been here at Ravenna, and it's hopefully can continue.
We're talking with Paul Baranek, head boys basketball coach of undefeated top-ranked Ravenna. Seven times that they have been to state here, the last seven times, only missing in 07. They have won the opening round game every single time, which is remarkable unto itself. You've got a Johnson-Brock team that, if you weren't the coach of Ravenna, you would say is overmatched in this basketball game. They've lost to some Class D schools. They like to keep it low scoring. They have a pretty nice little guard there that can get them 14 points a game. What's your assessment of Johnson-Brock?
Well, you know, the little guard that you're talking about is Wolken, where in the last few games, we've charted five games, and that's Coach Duncan doing all that work. But we've charted five games, and the five games they have played, Wolken has been a major, major part of what they're doing. Their 1-3-1 is scary. He's scary. He's been described as a freakish athlete, you know. And the other thing, that when in our charting that we found out, in our five games that we've charted, they've scored 214 total points as a team. He has somewhere around 106 of them. So, I mean, it's not any secret what they do, but if you would chart Ravenna basketball, you would say, hey, all you got to do is stop Connor Baranek, too, or whoever you don't want to lock down, or maybe Connor and Trevor only. So, you know, saying it is one thing, doing it's another. I would look at their schedule and, you know, kind of scratch my head, too, and say, you know, where are the Mendens, where are the Gretnas, where are those types of things. But, you know, they beat Johnson-Brock, who's a 22-3 team, 22-2 at the time. They beat Pawnee City. So, you know, they have some quality wins. And a former Nebraska alum that played for Doc Sadler is coaching down there. And here we go again.
Paul Baranek joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, I like to get your feelings about the C2 bracket as a whole. On the other side, Lincoln looks like Lutheran High Northeast would come out of there. Your overall thoughts on the whole bracket, though?
I would say Lutheran High Northeast has to be definitely in consideration, but you have to remember Ponca coming out of the same district. Lutheran High and Stanton and Ponca were all in the same district. Lutheran High and Stanton, you know, both were upset first rounds, and so they are obliged the wild card. But you know, Ponca comes out of a very tough district, beating Oakland Craig, who upset a lot of those teams, and you got to look at Ponca a little bit. So you know, they're number six seed. So if you have a dark horse, you know, you might be one looking at them.
Well, Johnson-Brock is up first at 2 o'clock tomorrow. They went to state last year for the first time since winning back-to-back state titles in 97 and 98, getting Pleasanton in the finals of one of those. And, Paul, I guess the one question I want to ask you, a lot of people, and I think even Stu had it in the Omaha World Herald, have you, maybe even ahead of Omaha Central, as the heaviest favorite to bring home the championship. You have been in that position before. Sometimes you've brought it home, sometimes you haven't. Do you use the sometimes you've brought it home, or do you use the sometime you haven't when you motivate the kids?
We talked exactly about the sometimes you haven't, because people will feed you full of stuff and tell you this is not going to be a contest and you will do this and do that. And in 2006, I'm not so sure I didn't buy into that. I'm not so sure our team didn't buy into that, you know, and that was probably one of the best teams I have ever coached. And they did not win a second state championship. But, and fame and all that and success is a fleeting thing, and it's also a fragile thing, but it's also a thing that you have to be guarded on, the fact that if people keep telling you certain things, you know, you hang around the barber long enough, you get your hair cut, as you can tell with me. I've hung around quite a bit, so he's trimmed me up pretty good. But, you know, you just got to be careful about hearing stuff and digesting it. You know, you can, and people will say it, hey, you're a lock, you know, and our guys internally know that, you know, and they were shaking their heads yesterday going, no, this is state basketball. We see things. All you got to do is look at the girls' bracket last week and the upsets. All you got to do is watch NCAA March. It's March. That's why they call it madness. So, you know, our guys are guarded on that. They understand it. We've addressed it quite a bit. Just because you walk on the floor and it says Ravenna on your jersey, in a lot of cases, to other teams that are playing you, it doesn't mean diddly dong dong, you know. But what it means is you better be ready to play, because our team is going to get their best effort. So when you get their best effort, that motivates us.
You know, you hear all the talk all year long, one of the best C2 basketball teams ever, and I think Drake heard that talk. When you don't win that title, you're out of that talk. I mean, you can ask KK Hauser and Marissa Kostanek how that worked.
Yep.
The greatest class A. Until we took home the runner-up trophy, then it isn't good. The only thing I'll say against that whole philosophy there, Paul, is I think this team is driven by getting knocked out on Friday last year, and I think that's something that's stuck in their craw to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Absolutely, and it started with our third-place game, you know, and we were fortunate we didn't have any seniors, so it was a third-place game for guys to get better right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we took that to heart. You know, there was some emotion. There was some fire. There was some crying. There was some, you know, toughness. There was stuff. And that was a, we call it a pinnacle or a turning point or whatever it might be. And those guys took it upon themselves and just said, we're changing this now and we're going to fix this. And this is not going to happen again, at least deed upon our effort, you know, and our focus.
Paul Baronic, head boys basketball coach at Ravenna. There's a chance that two of the teams they played in the state tournament last year they could see with Hardington Cedar Catholic and North Platte St. Pat's, who they played in the first and then the consolation game last year, are also in this bracket. The other team, Lincoln Christian, who did the deed last year, they moved up to C1. So we'll see you tomorrow when Lincoln down here joining us. We're already getting ready to watch some baseball here between the Huskers and the Lopers, and we'll see you tomorrow, Paul. Can't wait to get another run started.
Well, and that's, you know, we can't wait either. We're excited about getting down the road, and our parents do a great job. As we leave town, they meet us every mile outside the road for about 10 miles and got signs. And, you know, it's just, and we have to walk down Main Street and wave at everybody, and, the you know, and everybody, the patrons come out and give us a good send-off. It's really a truly, truly fun deal for the guys, and our people that do that and our guys, everybody really appreciates that.
Well, Paul, we can't wait to get her started. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you, guys.
When you're swinging a baseball bat, the more you hit, the better. When you're driving a car, not so much. That's why Monroe urges everyone to replace their worn shocks at 50,000 miles. Worn shocks not only affect your ride comfort, they may affect your car's ability to stop. And when you buy qualifying truck Monroe or Rancho products between March 1st and April 31st, you get up to $100 back in mail-in rebate. It's the extra savings you need and the extra safety you need more. Restrictions apply. Actual mileage may vary. Promotional details available at Monroe.com.
This March, dive into the Subway Jalapeno Tuna, featured $5 footlong of the month. Explore a new world of flavor when our taste-rific tuna meets spicy jalapenos to leave your taste buds tingling. With all the crisp, delicious veggies you love on your choice of freshly baked bread, the Jalapeno Tuna is one you've got to taste to believe. But hurry, this March only, it joins our many $5 footlongs. Subway, eat fresh.
Plus applicable tax, prices and participation may vary. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Additional charge for extras.
Whether you need to pick off a prairie dog or call in a turkey, the Boathouse in Grindallen has a variety of ammunition and hunting accessories that true outdoorsmen like yourself want. The Boathouse is more than just boats. It's ammo, live bait, and it's the right stuff, all in one place, so you can have more time in the fields or the lake, doing what you like to do best. The Boathouse. Boats, hunting, accessories, ammo, and live bait. North Highway 281 in Grindallen.
The Big Dance is about to get bigger around these parts.
Harris for three.
Cunningham Journal, Bud Light, and Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation bring you the 50K. That's right, the $50,000 bracketology contest for the 2012 NCAA tournament.
Another dribble into a three, and he rattles that one home.
Details upcoming, but suffice it to say, if you think you know buckets, bring it on. In fact, bring it online. Registration coming soon. Brackets open after the Selection Sunday show.
As skies stay mainly cloudy across the area today, we still could see an isolated shower sprinkle develop with highs in the mid-40s. Winds out of the north will stay at around 15 to 30. Tonight we'll see clearing skies and a low at 23. I'm Paul Frombly.
Right now it's 39.
And back here at Haymarket Park, Hawks Field, with the Doug and Daddy Show, the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Another hour of Doug and Daddy coming up here on ESPN Radio as Nebraska gets ready to take on UNK. A 17-game homestand for the Huskers got off to a 9-6 start
yesterday over Kansas State. We got a chance to talk with Will Bolt right off the top of the show. But the Lopers, Daddy, they had a good weekend as well. Not against the number one team in the conference. They're going to get a more test when they go home this weekend to take on New Mexico Highlands. But another in the series here, and it'll be interesting to see if this continues. I mean, Coach Day and Coach Anderson, you know, they had a relationship, and we'll see what Coach Erstad wants to do with the program, because I'm guessing it's more their call than UNK's call.
Yeah, it's always been just a nice open invitation, I think, with Coach Anderson. I don't know if it'll remain that way with Coach Erstad. I would think, you know, just being in the university system and you're so close, why not play at once? It's great for the kids. It's, you know, there's kids from the Tri-City area get to play against their buddies in high school, and I think it's great for both programs. Like Coach Day joins us right now. Coach, your thoughts. You'd like to continue this, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely one of those things that you would love to come here and play. This is baseball. This is baseball's finest in the Midwest, with one of these facilities, and obviously the job that Coach Anderson did before and now Coach Erstad is doing, it's always great to come and play a quality program and just give, like you kind of said, that opportunity for a lot of our kids who didn't have the opportunity to maybe play there in high school or have the opportunity to play there in college to come out on a day and get that opportunity to play at a venue like this. It's just good for the program, and it's something that I know our kids look forward to every year. And so, you know, depending upon what happens with the MIAA scheduling and where we go, we would love to definitely try to continue this.
Damon, if my memory, fading as it is, serves me right, this whole thing got started when you and Hastings and Nebraska and somebody else was going to play like a two or three games in one day. Wasn't that how this all got started?
Yeah, it kind of got started. It was going to be us and Hastings. We're going to play in the morning, and then Nebraska-Creighton were going to be in the afternoon. And so that's kind of how it started. And then I think obviously probably the thing that got us going here was when a former player of ours transferred here. I had a very good relationship with Coach Anderson and Coach Childress, and so that kind of turned into a relationship, turned into a friendship, which turned us into getting the opportunity to come play here. And you know, as far as Mike Anderson goes, I don't know if there's a more first-class individual, great coach, good person, mentor of mine. You know, I've always been appreciative of what he's meant to me in my coaching career and just the phenomenal job that he did here. And so we've always been thankful for him to give us that opportunity to come here and play.
One other thing with the facility, where it's at, going into the MIAA, the softball did it by going out to Colorado, playing some crossover so you can play regional. That's not in the cards, is it, though, with the way the schedule is for the – you're so full with the RMAC, and the MIAA, I think you told us earlier, is going to be 90% of your season, or how does that work?
Yeah, you know, we're excited about the move to the MIAA. I'm a little concerned at their scheduling philosophy and their scheduling policy. It definitely wasn't thought through from the standpoint of how is this going to affect all sports. I think at the end of the day, unfortunately, football drives the bus, and that's fine. I'm not one of those guys that's down upon that, but I think now that when you get into a 15-team baseball schedule, reaching from Oklahoma City all the way up to Kearney, Nebraska, all the way over to St. Louis, there's just a lot of logistics that are going into it. And so we really we've got a schedule approved, but we have yet to find a schedule that everybody can kind of wrap their arms around and say, this is going to be good for our young people. We're going to be on the road 13 more. We're going to miss 13 more classes next year in the MIAA than we did in the RMAC. We're going to have to travel almost, you know, when people say we're going to travel less, we're going to actually end up traveling about 1,500 more miles per se. They're closer, but you got to remember that they're sending us out a lot more. And so there's a lot of those things that we're kind of working through right now, trying to get our head around. And so, you know, I'm kind of more along the lines of, if someone would just please give me a schedule and tell me where I need to be, I will be there with our Loper team, and we'll kind of be there to compete. I try to stay out of the political arena of that, and I don't even try to throw my two cents in when you got 15 coaches and you're the newest kid in the classroom. The last thing you really want to do is raise your hand and say something. And so it'll be interesting. We're excited about it. We're genuinely excited about the change to the MIAA and the brand of baseball that we need to raise ourselves to. We've gotten a good test of that early here this season with our 1-6 start. We went to, I think they were eighth at the time, Emporia State, and Missouri Western's was receiving national votes. And I think we went there and we learned some lessons as far as, you know, we're not that far off. You know, we're not as far off as people may think, and they may look at me like, wow, you were 1-6. We are 1-6 to start our season because we graduated 16 very special seniors last year, and that's not excuse making. That's just bona fide fact. You know, you go from being 9 outs away from maybe going to the Division II College World Series to having to replace a lot of guys that were huge parts. And so it's a learning process. You know, we didn't get a lot of fall games in. We didn't get any fall games in as a unit because of the renovation. And I'm not complaining because the renovation to the infield has been something very, very special. But when we played Emporia State, that's the first time we took infield. That's the first time we stretched. I mean, and so we're learning. And our guys are learning what it takes to be a loper and what level we play at. And so I think we're only going to get better the more reps and the more games that we kind of get in and get going.
Well, Coach, you got some wins under your belt this past weekend. Maybe the competition wasn't what you saw the first couple weeks, but nonetheless, the W's are what you're after.
You know, I always say, is they're a Division II college baseball program, and you know, they got some guys that, you know, we went extra innings with them in the first game. And at our level, starting pitching and pitching is usually going to dictate how successful a team's going to be. And they had a guy that was doing some good things against us throughout game number one. And our guys just kind of really – it was great to see. I mean, people may think, really, you were excited. Yeah, I was glad we got in that extra inning affair. I didn't like how we got there. But, you know, I liked the way that we responded. I liked the way that we continued to play. And I liked the way that we fought back and not only, you know, were able to push a win across, but really step up there in the 10th inning and put four across. And so, you know, I don't really get into the level of competition because everybody's kind of got their own hurdles that they got to go. But they're a Division II team that we were scheduled against. And any time you go on the road in the RMAC and win four, that's a huge, huge jump in the right direction.
Damon Day, UNK baseball coach, joins us here at Haymarket Park where they will take on the Huskers in a little over an hour at 1:35. We're going to talk with Tommy Barnes, the RMAC Player of the Week, here in just a second. He'll be up for National Player of the Week honors. You can't put together a stretch any better than he did at the plate. Talk about this young man and made it to first or farther in all 15 plate appearances and was 12 for 12. I mean, that's hard to do in slow-pitch softball for some people.
Well, I think we need to find out what idiot coach didn't start him in game number one, because maybe game number one doesn't quite get to where it's at if the coach fills out the lineup card. But, you know, Tommy got off to a slow start for us this year. He'd be the first one to tell you. Hit the ball hard. Just things really just didn't fall for him, and really things weren't going his way. And so we sat down as a staff and kind of said, hey, you know, we're in that position to where we got to give him a game just to catch his breath. And you know, you don't want to just keep rolling a guy out there and let him bury himself because he had been hitting the ball hard. And that's one of the most frustrating things as a hitter is, you know, it wasn't like he wasn't making contact or wasn't doing things. He was hitting the ball hard. They just really didn't fall for him. And so we kind of gave him the game there in game number one at Christian and just kind of let him soak it in a little bit and take a deep breath. And I think he really took that game and saw some other guys making mistakes and realized, you know, I have the ability and I can do this. And I think he went out there and proved it. And you know, you think about 12 for 12. How many times do you see a guy that just smokes one right at the shortstop or you know, I mean, it's just an amazing streak.
Happened to me all the time.
You know, but there's probably no one that's more proud of Tommy than me. This game's not an easy game. And for him to, you know, get off to a rough start when he had such high expectations to kind of stay the course and stay his trust in us as coaches and working with them, and for him to step up and do it is a testament to, I think, who he is as a person and the type of individual he is. Because, you know, you can get caught under an avalanche when you're hitting 170 and you're hitting the ball hard and things aren't falling. You can kind of get into the doubt game and kind of get into your own head. But I was very proud of how Tommy stayed the course and really led us this weekend when we needed him.
Coach, a lot of times in this game, it's pitcher by committee, midweek game against the Huskers. Who are you going with on the mound, and is that the case today?
We have 16 guys, I believe, in, in our dugout that can pitch. So you could see one of 16 today. But, you know, we're going to start Corey Ridenhour. He's probably been our most consistent pitcher for us all year. It's his day to throw a bullpen, and he asked if he could throw it in the game, and I was like, sure, we'll do that. So he'll be on a pitch count, and we'll see how he does. And then from there, we'll just kind of play it by ear and see who needs to do what and where we need to get to. And in this game, you kind of got a blueprint in your head, but that can usually go by the wayside here pretty early. And so we're just – it's great for us to see this type of high-end pitching from this standpoint. This is why we love playing this game, is because, you know, the hitting is obviously at a different level than Division II, but you really get to see some pretty decent arms that gets our hitters kind of prepared to face some Friday night guys coming RMAC time.
And what's more feasible, Peyton Manning being a starting quarterback for the Browns or them losing out on Bounty Gate? I mean, I'm guessing that was probably pretty easy to get a bounty against some of those Browns boys.
Well, I think from what I know of the NFL, I don't think the Saints even put bounties up. I think they said that's like stealing. As my brownies go, RG3, baby. That's all my brother and I can talk about is the hope that someday, because when you don't have a line, you better get a guy that can run. that's kind of what we're shooting for. And so, it'll be interesting to see, because the Browns will figure out a way to blow it. So they'll get us right up to that game, to draft day, and then we'll take the center out of East Oklahoma Washington Technical School.
Coach, UNK ever, Kearney State ever had a National Player of the Week?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir.
Well, let's find out. Let's switch the headsets over to Tommy, see if he can bring that home here after a great weekend. Tommy Barnes joins us here as the Lopers get ready for the Huskers. How cold is it down there?
Oh, it's not too bad.
We the ball will fly out?
No, just warming up, you know. Trying to stay warm out there.
We watched all you guys. I don't know if anybody hit one out. I know the Huskers haven't hit one out here. Not exactly jumping out of the park, though.
No, not really. Not as it was in Colorado, but you know, it'll happen eventually. So that's what I'm waiting for.
What's the feeling like down there in the dugout? What is it like? I mean, this is different. It's different for Nebraska because it's a midweek game that they look at as against a Division II. Probably the exact opposite for you guys, or it could be. You're looking at a chance to maybe hit against somebody that's a little bit better or make a play on a big field like this. Is it an exciting time, or do you guys actually put together a game plan that what do we got to do to win and get better? What's the philosophy down there today?
Well, it's really intense down there. You know, we know these guys are pretty good, and, you know, we're just going to go out there and give it our all. And last weekend, like I said, we've been putting up good numbers, and we finally worked as a team, and we actually got that together, so we're ready to take on this Husker team. So
Tommy, 12 for 12, T-ball, 9 and 10 year olds, ever anything close to that before?
No, I never played T-ball, so I just skipped that stage in my life. But you know, but
when you got to 7, did anybody say anything? 8 for 8, 9. I mean, did anybody say anything?
No, it was quiet. I mean, the first game, I just kept hitting, and you know, I just never kept track of it. I just kept swinging away. So
who's the first guy that said, "About time, Barnes, let's go, good job."
Everyone said that. Right when I started getting to the dugout, every time it's like, "Geez, it's about time you start hitting." So
was it hard not to get down on yourself, like Coach Day talked about, when you were struggling?
Well, I know I'm a good hitter in my heart, and you know, just the team knows it, I know it, and you know, that first game, like Coach said, you know, I just need to take a breather. So right when I got in, it was game time. I knew how to do something to show these guys I know I can hit. So that's exactly what I did.
How in the world did you end up in this part of the country? Tommy Barnes is with us. He went 12 for 12. He's from Maryland. He ended up at McCook. Now he's at UNK. How did this happen? Were you chasing a girl out here, or what's going on, man?
Well, McCook, we face UNK, and you know, I guess I hit pretty well against them, and I guess that opened up Coach's eyes, and you know, I just went from there.
You know a friend of ours from Cambridge, Tim Mackey, Cleet,
yep.
Mackey.
Yep.
Well, that's a wild crew you've been running around with. I can't believe, Coach. You know, the good guys, and it's good to have you part of this Loper team. Thanks for coming up and giving us a minute of your time. Best of luck today versus the Huskers, and best of luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tommy Barnes. Perfect over the weekend. Can't do better than that. And, of course, probably could have been 16 for 16, but we'll work about the coach with that. David Day, Tommy Barnes joining us here as part of our Loper Link, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, they have the loans. And by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliance. Go to GarrettTire.net for more information. We've got a lot more of the other sports that are going on, including wrestling and track, staying very busy this weekend. We'll talk more about that. But right now, we need to take a break. Also, Tom Crable is coming up from Boys Town as they get ready for the Boys State High School basketball tournament. UNK and the Huskers at 1:35. We're back at Haymarket Park right after this on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.